What's up, boys and girls? Welcome to this episode of the Raleigh G Audio Experience. In this episode, episode number 12, I wanted to go over a couple things on a question that I get a lot when I'm talking to professionals and people that are looking to start side hustles or other businesses. And that question is, what if I have no idea what to start? How do I come up with an idea? And the first answer that I usually give to that is that ideas are worthless. I've never come up with a good business idea just off the top of my head. All of my ideas have come from everything that I've executed on has come from research and understanding that there is a market that existed and demand somewhere that I didn't previously know existed. When I started my escape room business with my partners, that all started because Market Watch did an article that was titled "The Unbelievably Lucrative Business of Escape Rooms." And I read the article. I'd never heard of an escape room before. So it showed me this market that existed and this new product on this new market that I didn't have any exposure to prior to that. And what I did back then, and it's probably still the case now, is I started looking at escape rooms. Escape rooms back then, most bookings were public, so you could back into what their revenue was doing pretty easily. So I went to all the escape room businesses that were in the Dallas area, because that's where I was practicing law, and I started looking at their revenue every single day. Every single day, I'd go to their website. As soon as I got to the law firm, I would log on to their websites. I had five or six escape room businesses that I was tracking. I would log on and I would see what their bookings look like for the rest of the day. You know, if a room had 10 spaces and five of them were taken at $125 $25 a person, then I assume that they made $125 on there. And so I was just trying to get a sense of what their top line demand looked like. And on the numbers that I was running, it looked like these escape room businesses were clearing seven figures, doing over $1 million a year. And so the ones that were really successful, I started going to all of their games. I was a customer of them, and I wanted to get a sense for what the cost was to build something out like this. I started talking to realtors to try to get a sense for what rent cost in the area. I got a sense of, you know, what it costs to build one of these things. How much do the employees cost? How hard is it to get an employee like this? So I was just trying to back into what their profit and loss statement looked like in the business. After a couple months of looking at the business, I felt like it was a viable option, and a space became available in Utah that made sense and that was cheap enough for us to capitalize on. And we went for that business, but it wasn't an idea that I had. I wasn't sitting at my law firm desk and had this thought of, you know, what would be really cool would be if you put people in a room and you have all these padlocks and keys and stuff and desks, and you have these actors dressed up in makeup. And, you know, I think it'd be really awesome if that's the way that I got out of the law firm. I would have never thought of it if you had given me a million years to think of it. It just wouldn't have ever happened. It only happened because I was actively searching for something. I had tried various businesses prior to that from an idea standpoint. I didn't actually put any real hard money into anything, but I was looking for something to get out. And my mind was always thinking, I was always making lists of what problems I was trying to solve. I was just desperate to find something. And what I've learned from that experience and since then is when I come up with business ideas or the thing that I want to execute on, the next step of what I want to do from a business standpoint, it hasn't ever come to me from a creative standpoint of me in a meditative state, thinking about what I want to do. My brain isn't really wired in the way where I can come up with an Uber. And this is me assuming that I know how Travis Kalanick actually came up with Uber. And he may have had something very similar where he had just exposure. When you get an exposure to enough industries, it's much more akin to, I know what's working in this industry. Let's take what's working in this industry and apply it in an industry adjacent field and see what that looks like. That's one way. That's very, you're on the frontier and there's a lot of risk there. It could either be massive or it could go to zero. The space that I'm still playing in currently is let somebody else play the frontier game. Let them show that there is demand for the escape room business. And once demand is established, and I can back into it because I can figure out their revenue numbers. Once I know demand is there, then the question is, how can I either match the product offering to fulfill the demand or have lower cost, or what's my unique spin on it? Our unique spin in the escape room business was the only escape rooms that we ever enjoyed doing were ones that were on the scarier side and had live actors. So we felt like that was kind of our ticket into kind of our unique spin to meet the demand that had already existed there. Another one that I'm working on currently, there's a Shopify store, and there's plenty of tools out there that you can use to, kind of look at other people's Shopify numbers. So I have various things that I'm looking at on a daily basis. And there's a Shopify store that's doing $25,000 a month in revenue. And I've gone to their Facebook page, and I have a pretty good idea that they're not spending a lot on marketing, so it should be a pretty high margin business. I have a good idea of where they're sourcing their material from, and how they're building the product, and how I can get distribution done. But I only focused on the idea. The thing that caught my attention was I was looking at Shopify stores, and I was surprised that one of these stores was doing as much revenue as it did. The thing that glimmers as I'm looking out in the marketplace, something that glimmers, which was the way the escape rooms glimmered for me, was when I went and did my first escape room, I thought, this is such an atrocious product, and it is just shocking to me that these guys are doing as well as I know that they are. What isn't attractive to me is obviously a lot of competition, a lot of venture capital money, a lot of dollars going in to try to meet demand. I much prefer to find the things that are doing well, kind of despite themselves. But that's something that you have to get attuned to doing. The other thing that I do is I find 3 to 5 websites that I look at on a daily basis where I can sign an NDA and get access to businesses that are for sale, because they'll tell you their profit and losses. You can look at their books and you can get a sense for what demand was, how the businesses are trending over time, and who their biggest competitors are. A lot of times they'll disclose that, and a sales offering that and that get that's a very quick way for you to get an inside look at a complete industry and learn a whole new industry that you didn't know exist, that morning. And after a couple hours of research, you know a lot of who the biggest customers are, what the biggest customer issues are, who the competitors are, what the competitor issues are. And it gives you a good inside look into industries that may have some potential. And so those are my kind of initial thoughts on how I deal with the fact that ideas don't spring to me spontaneously from inside me. I'm not creative in that way. And I can take principles that have worked and apply them in other fields, but from a creative standpoint, that's just not the way that it happens for me. And so the way that I compensate that, knowing that about myself, is I'm willing to learn about anybody's business, because I just have no idea. I had an AC technician that came to my house a couple 2 weeks ago. And I just asked him how busy he was. Why is it that AC companies take 6 days to, come and service a deal where they can make money? Why is everybody so backed up? Is that seasonal? Tell me everything that you know about the business. I have no inclination to start an AC business or an HVAC business, but I don't know. I have no idea. And I'm willing to spend the time and potentially waste time learning about businesses and industries that aren't necessarily my passion. I think that's the big problem that people get tied up on is they say, well, I want to focus on what I'm passionate about, and all I'm passionate about is doing yoga, and it doesn't make sense for me to quit my sales job where I make $200,000 a year to open up a yoga studio. There's a lot of risk there. And I think that's right. And they just get in a tailspin where they don't get any traction on anything. If you're, I push back against the concept that you should only be making money in the thing that you think that you're passionate about, because you could have a lot of other passions that you haven't explored, just like you are now passionate about yoga. But prior to doing that, you wouldn't have known that. But even outside of that, if you put the parameter on me that it must be yoga and I will not make money on anything outside of yoga, the thing that I would do is I would look at where demand is in yoga. So I would try to find yoga businesses that are selling yoga studios, yoga gyms, Amazon stores, Shopify stores. Where is there demand in yoga, or where is demand moving to? What are the trends? Go on Google Trends and look up yoga and spend some time looking at yoga adjacent trends. And if you follow demand close enough, even if you have to stay within the yoga field, then you can find the best chance of coming up with something that has the economics that suit your ambitions in a way that you can't otherwise do if you're just ideating with friends at a bar. That's my least favorite conversation that happens to me more frequently than I would like it to, is when people get around and they start ideating and they start building a product that's based off of what they see the shortcomings that exist in the marketplace as it stands right now. And I think it's an okay strategy. My brain doesn't work with that as the starting point. The starting point for me has to be what already exists out there in the market, because almost invariably, what happens in the meeting where you're at the bar and you're talking about how you want to do the Uber of collecting coins from people's doorsteps and turning it into dollars, so you get coins. Coin turn-ins. I'm just making this up, although this is a pitch that I've heard before. What invariably happens when you're at the bar talking about this is somebody, and this person is usually me, I end up being the wet blanket for some reason, and I start Googling what already exists, and I say, oh, actually, this idea already exists, and it's 95% of all of the features that you're mentioning of how you would build this perfect thing. And then they look at the website and they say, well, I don't like these colors, or the important feature would be this and this and this. And it's a waste of time, because it puts primacy on the creativity of the product, and it gets you a step away from where is demand in the product, and how is that demand currently being met. I think it's a much more useful activity to spend time on if you're trying to build an app, which I would say don't do it. But if you're trying to build an app, it's a much more useful activity to go onto the App Store on the closest competitor and look at all of the one-star reviews and the complaints of the customers, or go on an Amazon store and look at what the complaints of the customers that are our actual purchasers of these products, what do they say the issues are, and start by addressing those issues, the issues of the actual consumer, versus what you perceive the issue to be as someone who's on the outside of the industry. So when you're close to the issues that the consumers currently have, I think you're close. And the counterpoint that people bring up with that is, not all consumers know exactly what issues need to be solved if you're trying to start a brand new market. And I think that's right. I think the way that I do my analysis on starting a new idea is a limited scope, and it precludes my ability to come up with a product that is revolutionary. But the trade-off that I have by eliminating the revolutionary product and potentially eliminating the billion-dollar deal, the billion-dollar exit, whatever, is I'm playing in a realm that has much more chance of success because I'm starting where demand is today. Although I'm not doing something revolutionary, I can do something that can change my life, although it may not change the world. That's one of my principles in the Ten Commandments of starting a side hustle, is start with something that will change your life, not something that will change the world. Because the world is too big. People end up with these grandiose ideas that are completely unexecutable. And the analysis that I'm talking about, with looking at where demand is, looking at businesses that are already for sale, looking at your adjacent competitors, what the complaints of their customers are, I think that gets you infinitely further along in the ideation process on starting something and actually putting pen to paper, buying a domain, getting customer reviews, and starting to talk to people and actually getting revenue in the door, than 10,000 idea sessions with the buddies over beers on what the next ICO should be. So that's my process. Hope it helps. Let me know if you like this style better than the interview style, and I'll try to get more of them done. Whatever question you have, hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on LinkedIn, and we'll keep it rolling.